You are listening to Fantha Tracks.
Powered by FanthaTracks.com. It's the Fantha from down under.
G'day, mate. How you going? This is Adam O'Brien. Of course, the Fantha from down under, brought to you by FanthaTracks.com and Fantha Tracks Radio. I'm coming to you live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia as we chat some Star Wars for you, the Star Wars fans out there who love talking about the classic Star Wars. We are here after a short break that we've taken here at the show, as we've been doing literally the show for about 2.5 years here. I've been recording for, of course, Fantha Tracks. And we're here with a rebooted format and, of course, a format of looking back. This is very much a flashback show now here, as we're going to be looking at the original trilogy, the prequel trilogy, and, of course, all of the expanded universe that that had back then, particularly celebrating the books as well and looking at just what it was like when those little events happened, whether it's Shadows of the Empire, the New Jedi Order, looking at when the prequels came out and changed everything for us, of course, as well. We're looking all the way back to, of course, Splinter in the Mind's Eye and things like that, and just looking at it, not just as the books, we're going to be looking at it from the event of it itself, because every time one of those dropped, it was an event. Once the computer games came out, it was an event. And it's time to look back and celebrate those. So on the main shows here at Fantha Tracks Radio, you'll be able to obviously catch up with all the brand new shows, of course, the TV shows that are coming out, all the animated series, the books as well, of course, with Cannon Fodder, and making tracks, going to all the events, and of course, Mark and Mark now. Isn't that great? Marky Mark. Mark and Mark. Going to be covering all that there too. But we decided we're going to have a show that looks back and really celebrates just those little bits in time, a bit of a flashback, and really getting into what we loved about Star Wars back then. And of course, there's so much to love, so much to look back on. Tonight's episode is going to be looking at one of those pivotal points where it was really, you either liked it or you didn't, but also it was one of those points where something needed to change because some characters, some parts of Star Wars were just too darn strong, and even you and I would agree with this, because I tell you what, when Vector Prime came along and it was to start a whole new era of Star Wars, this is when Luke Skywalker had his own Jedi Temple. He had a number of students. He also had, at the same time, a time where the Jedi could just pretty much wipe out anything. They were superhuman at a time where something needed to come in that wasn't an Imperial agent, Imperial admiral, whatever it was. The Empire had pretty much been knocked over. And, you know, in this case, let's just say Luke Skywalker was like, "What you got? Give it to me. I need something new." And they certainly got something new with, of course, the new Jedi Order. And R.A. Salvatore gave us one of the most, let's just say, conflicted novels for fans. You either liked it or you didn't, and especially some of the events that happening in this one, particularly to poor Chewbacca. Well, it all happens in this one, so we're going to be talking about that very soon. But before we get into that, here's how you can contact us here at Fantha Tracks, and, of course, follow the shows. And this here is how you can find the Fantha from Down Under on the World Wide Web. You can catch Adam O'Brien, the Fantha from Down Under, at The Lethal Mullet on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can also catch him on the Lethal Mullet podcast on Phantom Podcast Network. You can also catch him on Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast on Phantom Podcast Network. You can also catch him at The Mullet Guild on the Phantom Podcast Network at fbnet.podbean.com. Be sure to check out all the listings there and subscribe for the great shows also at fanthatracks.com. It's all your Star Wars news in a single file. And now it's time for the news, live from Quinlan's Cantina on the Gold Coast of Australia, with the Fantha from Down Under.
All right, so time for the news here, and the Fantha from Down Under.
Going to chat about what we've been up to and what's happening in your neck of the woods. My neck of the woods in Australia. Well, to be honest, not a lot. Australia is only now opening up its movie cinemas. So currently, as of this week, we have event cinemas and, of course, reading cinemas, which is another huge one. Here in the southeast Queensland side of Australia, they're currently opening up with some B-grade films and some A-grade films, which are filling out some of the cinemas. The other one is also the drive-in theatres, which are really, really busy right now, which currently we have one out at Beenleigh here on the Logan City side and, of course, the Gold Coast side of Australia. And rumour is they're going to be showing a few well-to-do, let's just say, original films out there that were from the 90s and the 80s. And from what I hear, we may be seeing a Star Wars film or two there as well. There is also over in the UK, Empire Strikes Back, with its 40th anniversary being shown in some cinemas over there too. So it could be that we're getting that in some of the drive-ins over here to celebrate that also. Can you imagine seeing Empire Strikes Back back on the big screen? Even in a drive-in would be fantastic too. You get to chillax in your car. Do what I do. I actually bring the car down. We take, whether it's a Land Cruiser, sedan, whatever you've got, and you actually tune in your audio for the movie into your car stereo. So you think about it, this is even better than going to the cinemas, because most people will always have, you know, even with factory standard audio in their car, fantastic bass, mids, and of course treble control in a car. I mean, let's face it, they are fantastic most times. And of course, you get to do that. You can still go and park in a drive-in and still have the little clip-on on the window audio speakers as well, except they're not going to be stereo, are they? They're going to be just mono. So it always pays to tune into the FM channel that they've got blasting out the movie's audio. I do remember they recently did Avatar down here for the audio too. So who knows? It's going to be massive. But they're doing a lot of those with, of course, double bills. So you could see Top Gun with Top Gun 2 recently. Looking to do that later in the year here in Australia. But the other one is Chris Nolan with, of course, Inception. That's going out in the next couple of weeks as a bit of a starter to some of these bigger chains putting out the movie theatres. So here in Australia, they're going to be doing that, and you'll be catching some of the new movie trailers out there. And, of course, one of those is the teaser trailer for Dune. That is Denis Villeneuve's Dune. And, of course, Poe Dameron's in that movie, folks. That's right. The amazing Poe Dameron is now Duke Leto Atreides. So Oscar Isaac, go and check it out. Support your local Star Wars talent with checking out that trailer. And then, of course, later in the month, in July 30-ish, you're going to see the full Dune trailer. So, Oscar, we love you, buddy. Get out there. Grow that beard. Do that extra little bit of footage you need to get filmed in August. That's right. They're doing more Dune footage in August. It's a wrap-up of some stuff they obviously needed to add to the experience. And, folks, when you do go and see this movie, go and see this Volume 1. There's two parts to it. So there's going to be a second one coming in a couple of years' time. Go and see this first one if you're an Oscar Isaac fan, because if you know anything about Dune, Duke Leto is in the first part. Now it's time to go down to the pub here with the Panther from Down Under. Let's go grab a pint. All right, we're down here in the pub having a nice cold pint here at the old table. Just about to tell a true story table about one of the greatest books out there, written by R.A. Salvatore. But before we do that, we have to say a few words about a dear actor to most of us, who I think was one of the most talented when it came to character acting, obviously as his main trait. But also he was, I think, just one of the most lovely people in fandom. That's been said by a number of people that have worked with him on whether it's Alien, Lord of the Rings, The Fifth Element, you name it, Greystoke. This guy's done everything. That is, of course, the late Ian Holm, who's unfortunately passed away. A lot of us know him, obviously, as Bilbo Baggins from the beloved Fellowship of the Ring, and, of course, the rest of the whole range of films that he's done with The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. But also, in Alien, of course, he played won a hell of a role in Alien and really set up, you know, as Ash, what was going to be the reign of these people that are basically there to help the ships or whatever expedition they're on. And when they turn, they turn. obviously in The Fifth Element as well, playing a priest in that one. Also, he is just one of those fantastic actors who can turn up in almost any role and really surprise you. I believe he was in Mel Gibson's Hamlet as well and did a great role in that too. It was fantastic. But just really is, you know, sad to hear the news that he's passed, and our well wishes to his family and his friends, and we really, may he rest in peace. It's very, very sad. So now on to Vector Prime. Vector Prime is one of those stalwarts when it comes to novels. It really hits the ground running, gives you something new in Star Wars at a time where the Empire just kept coming back and coming back and coming back and going, guess what? I got you. It's also the first novel to give us the Yuuzhan Vong, which was this really interesting element that they brought in. At first, I didn't like it. I hated it. I thought it was, what, you got these crazy aliens that look like, you know, the epidermal layer of skin with tattoos all over them and, you know, piercings. You know, they look the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. They look like a Star Trek creation. You know, they look like Borg mutated and scarred, you know, and then all of this biological, you know, technology that they had. It was crazy at the time. It was nuts. But this was one of those great eras where all the storytellers got together and they said, what has Star Wars not had yet? What have we not seen Luke Skywalker, the Jedi face? You know, they've been up against everything. Jorah Sabaoth and, of course, Zahn's great role of Thrawn there as well. You've got all these great Imperial entanglements that Luke and the rest of them face, Mara Jade, all that stuff. It's been and done, and they kept copying themselves as well. I think the only other element outside of that, and we will get into them, is Stackpole's great X-Wing series, which is beloved, and I damn well love that series. It's fantastic. So, getting down to it, this is what they really had it come to a stage where we need to put a roadblock in place that is going to stop Luke and the guys and really give them an oppressive, but, you know, a challenge, an oppression to their order, but also give them something they haven't had a chance to face, which was they took the Force away from them in some ways, because, against obviously what we're going to be talking about tonight, is that roadblock, which was that the Force had no effect on the Yuuzhan Vong. So we're going to get into that tonight, and obviously the big elephant in the room, of course, is what this novel did, which was it obviously said goodbye to one of the most beloved characters in Star Wars. And I'm happy to say, I actually like what they did. I think it was fantastic. It needed to be done. There needed to be something to show, you know, that this threat was real. It was very real for all people involved, all the characters. And it really gave Han Solo, I think, the character motivation to keep going. In some ways, I think they should have done something similar in, you know, the sequel trilogy. I hate to say it, I love Chewbacca. It's one of my favorite characters. But, you know, what's his character's motivation, you know? You get to Force Awakens, you kill off Han Solo. You know, this character's been alive for 200 plus years. You know, it's what are they really going to do with him? And that's the thing. A lot of, that I have a problem with that sequel trilogy is motivation of some of those older characters. Obviously, it's not their trilogy when you think about it. It is the new trilogy. As muddled a mess as it was. And it was. So, we're going to get into that and why I think that really not only helped Han Solo grow, but it definitely put Han and Leia as a couple, as a married couple. And I do like the fact that they were together in that one. Unlike the sequel trilogy, I think that was pretty stupid. In this, it's really good because it really tests them with their kids. Obviously, that is something that the sequel trilogy definitely ripped off with Darth Kytus and all that sort of stuff being turned into Kylo Ren and all that sort of stuff. So we'll get into that a little bit very soon. But we're going to describe the novel, get into it, what it's all about, and of course the new characters like Norman Moore. To get to know this, we're going to talk about Robert Anthony Salvatore. He was born in 1959. Of course, he's an American author, known more for his Forgotten Realms work and, of course, the character, which most of you know very well if you play Dungeons & Dragons and many other games like that. You would know the character of Driss Do'Urden. That's right, an amazing character. Driss Do'Urden is obviously one that's got multiple novels about him out there. Obviously, it's a fictional character, and, of course, he was a supporting character in the Icewind Dale trilogy. And from there, the character's obviously grown and become this amazing, if anything, an amazing character that people just keep coming back to. And it has an elf that a lot of people, you know, copy when they go and play role-playing games. I've got a number of my old D&D crew that always wanted to take this drow character who is a fighter ranger and basically do exactly what Drist was in the novels, in Forgotten Realms, whatever it was. They wanted to do it because he's a cool character. Obviously, Salvatore created that. And obviously, he's known also as the Vector Prime author, the first, of course, of the New Jedi Order series. So he's a novelist that is part of, obviously, you know, the world of fantasy. Knowing that very well, it fits quite well with Star Wars. When you think that, it's been designed as space fantasy in some ways by George himself. So that's an interesting way of bringing a different sort of take on Star Wars. We've got that also with when Terry Brooks did The Phantom Menace. You know, you've got those sorts of writers who have got a background in the other genre. Fantasy is very, very similar in some ways to Star Wars, so it works quite well in that regard. Now, obviously, the New Jedi Order was a new series and one they really wanted to test what was out there. So the books were published from 1999 to 2003, so it was quite a big run for that time. And it was set around about 21 to 25 years after Return of the Jedi. So this was actually the first time where we really had a full slog when it came to getting those characters, you know, not just 5 years later or 6 years later, because as the Bantam novels were coming out, so whether it's the Thrawn novels, any of those in between those, plus the X-Wing series, we're always counting, oh, it's 7 years after Jedi, or was it, 6 years after, or was it nine, was it 10? And we got all those novels, and this was a real jump. And for this to come out at the time of the prequels was an interesting time, because obviously we had George going his direction changing between that obviously 30-year sort of pre-A New Hope, 30 years of what the Jedi lore was going to be. That was never to be touched by any of the authors. That was sort of ground that was literally just cemented. You could not touch, you could not walk on it. But he didn't care for the sequels because at that time he wasn't, I'm not going to do sequels, That was George, you know, he was only interested in telling the stories of episodes 1 to 3. So let's get into it. The alien race known as the Yuuzhan Vong prepare for their invasion of the Star Wars galaxy. They are covertly getting into the peace area and establishing their forehold on the New Republic as the Galactic Empire is left wake of ravagedness. Distraction for the Praetorite Vong as they move their way into the bases and are now facing the Jedi. So as you can see, much of what this starts out in this novel, this series, is sowing the seeds of what the Vong are up to. So obviously they're here to terraform planets into turning in them into something that can actually house and keep, and if anything, keep their empire going, because the Vong are here to terraform and to destroy. In some ways, it's very much like a War of the Worlds, you know. When we saw War of the Worlds, obviously, you know, they start to terraform and change Earth to back to, obviously, the red soil that they know best. And it's the same here, as we see the agent of the Praetorite Vong come down to the backwater of Helska for this frozen planet, where they're going to do what they can to change it into a base for their basically their whole invasion. So there's Yu Zanvong agent by the name of Yomin Carr, who starts to work his way down here. And he's part of a caste system. Now, this is something we'll get into on this episode and more soon. This warrior caste, is it part of the Prerod Vong, which basically is their military, if you like? It's very hard to describe, but we'll talk about it very soon. But this is what we're starting to see start to ravage the planet, is turning this into something that can actually house and keep the actual Vong themselves. So, again, they are biological and biotechnological, you could say, race. And so a lot of that is through living organism technology and stuff like that too. Something that's not in the Star Wars universe. They do usually cold, hard steel and hyperdrives, all that sort of stuff. So this is completely new. So they started Helska 4, and then obviously members from Xcal 4 are based on the nearby world of Belkadan. Also get infiltrated by, obviously, Yomin Carr. And people start dying. And only one person gets away, and that's a character by the name of Danny Key. And Danny is then captured and tortured for experimentation by the Yu Zanvong, by Yomin Carr, as he readies the rest of the Planet 4 Vong habitation. He poisons the entire world in the initial step, and he kills the remaining scientists that are on that base. So it's a pretty gruesome start, but also we get some great starfighter action as well by some of the Jedi Knights that are under the guidance of Luke Skywalker. It's a strong start. That's the first quarter of that novel. And it really sets up what we're about to face, what they're all about to face. And it really changes the Skywalkers themselves too, because they're going through this. It's not only Luke himself and Mara Jade that really have to face what's going on, but it's also the Solos, Jaina, Jason, Anakin, and of course Leia and Han. Alright, now it's time to talk about some of the characters involved in this. Obviously, we know Luke Skywalker is 20 years into being a Jedi Master at this stage. He has obviously been a Jedi Knight. He's gone around the galaxy, and he has now got a small, but powerful and eccentric lot of Jedi Knights. And one of those being, of course, one of my favorite characters, which we're going to talk about very soon, Kip Duron. That's right, Kip Duron. And Kip, of course, it comes from the Jedi Academy trilogy, Kevin J. Anderson's novels. He's obviously had quite a bit of play in amongst the universe already, and in this, he gets a small part. We also have, of course, Mara Jade. And Mara Jade in this is really good too. I think Mara really is not just the other half of Luke Skywalker. She's her own, you know, when it comes to the darkness inside her from working with the Emperor as the Emperor's hand for so long in the Empire's clutches. You know, she's really basking in, I think, particularly in this novel, you know, the wake of, you know, the end of the Empire at this stage. So it's interesting. You know, she's obviously in the light now, in the light side of the Force, really, you know, learning not only from Luke, and Luke's learning from her as well. I mean, it's a true relationship, true partnership, and we get to see that grow. Han in this, you know, is just Han, I think, and it's the pivotal point we see very, very soon in the novel. The sacrifice that Chewbacca does really changes him, and you see it in the following novels after this one as well. And we see that also in the Invasion series from Dark Horse Comics. More on that later. And we'll actually do a special on Star Wars Invasion a little bit later. I was really into a lot of the Dark Horse adaptations. They really, not only have they expanded the universe just as well as the novels did, I think, personally, but Star Wars Legacy is, without a doubt, with Cade and the whole lot of Darth Krayt. I mean, every single Asharad Hat is one of the greatest characters out there. You know, he gets to battle, you know, Skywalker's Kenobis, you name it. It's all there. So we'll talk about that series in another episode. But yeah, like it really is an interesting time. You know, Luke is really starting to feel You know, he's in his probably his mid-40s at this stage. Really starting to feel the pains it is to be a master. So it's a great time, but also a great time for them to be tested with Yeoman Ka, the Preterite Vong, and of course the Yuuzhan Vong's whole invasion coming this way. So, you know, brilliant, brilliant sort of start. Now let's talk about Yeoman Ka.
Hey, Yeoman Ka! Your lunch is ready, mate. I've got a bacon and egg sandwich here ready for you. Yep, I held away the anchovies, mate. They're not on there. Come get that with your blue milk, buddy. Come on.
I am Yeoman Ka, the harbinger of doom. I am the beginning and the end of your people.
Yeah, well, I knew a car, not a Yeoman car. I knew a Suzuki car and a Ford and Holden. Alrighty, old mate Dingham here. He's a good man. Yeoman Ka was a male. Yuuzhan Vong, he was a warrior, part of the warrior caste. So the Preterite Vong, that's right, the Preterite Vong, they had basically a military arm, if you like. Very political structure, and basically it was a political faction that was coming into this invasion area. So in some ways, Yeoman Ka was kind of like a delegate, if you like, but he belonged to the warrior caste. So Yuuzhan Vong themselves have a caste system, and we'll go into a little bit of that in that later episode, because it takes a bit to explain. But he was masquerading in the start of the novel as a human male. So part of what is really creepy in the novel itself, and it's something that's a very much a departure for Star Wars, was this sort of like skin-like, like it is as real as you could think it would be. This outer layer that the Yuuzhan Vong was wearing over the top of his skin was just bizarre. We're talking about layers of, like, almost like a tracksuit. Out here we call them tracky dacks. You ever heard of tracky dacks out there in the States or the UK or anywhere in the world? Well, that's a tracksuit, all right? Wear a tracksuit when you go to the gym and stuff like that. The same thing. So he's got this weird sort of crazy outfit that he puts over the top of him that makes him look like a human. And that's why he's able to blend in and get where he needs to get in this story. So Yeoman Ka, obviously, he's there to sow the seeds of distrust and start to get, obviously, the planet's ready for invasion. Get them in the right way for the Yuuzhan Vong. And he's your typical, when it comes to that sort of thing, to put it blindly, he's a used car salesman. You know, used car salesman. You go, well, mate, you want to buy this Toyota Corolla over here, mate? Yeah, mate, it's a good deal, eh? You know, it's got four cylinders. Really good mileage for an unleaded motor. Mate, you're only going to be paying $20 for a full tank. Mate, it's going to get you from Brisbane to the Gold Coast. You ain't going to pay top dollar for it. On TE's great deal. I'll even throw in air conditioning as a bonus, mate. You're going to love it. Brilliant. 1992 model Toyota Corolla. $3,000, mate. Oh, mate, it's only got 480,000 kilometres on the clock. Mate, it's a steal. Come and buy it. That's the kind of person that you're going to see in this story. And that's basically what he's doing here. So he keeps everything secret around him. And he also has a unique way of contacting his fellow Vong. And it's something I'm going to leave you with that. You're going to have to go and check it out. But again, it's very much a biological, or biotech is probably the word, way of doing things. And it kind of freaked me out. I'm going to be honest, Mr. Salvatore, you did freak me the hell out when I read that novel at that point. Because it was new. It was something that I'd never seen before. And I think that's what makes such genius. That is why you are a master writer, sir. Not just of Drist Doerden, but of course of Star Wars. In this structure, it really, it shocked. The shock value was there. You got to remember, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast tonight, The Phantom Menace was where we were at in 1999 when this came out. We were at a time where, you know, George was like, oh, come on, guys, we're going to do the height of the Jedi. We're going to see everything, you know, short frame. It's going to be like Samurai and steroids. And that's basically what he did. You know, he put that out there, and that's what you got. And this was such a shock because We're like, you know, Luke can face anything. It's Luke Skywalker, man, you know? Luke's the man. But he obviously was really tested in this, and Yeoman Carr is that test. Yeoman Carr is also very much, I think, one of those real tests for people, you know, that throw him out there, almost like a religious figure, if you like. You know, they're out to test humanity, like the old West. They used to send, obviously, the old priests out into the wilderness, you know, to go and tame the wilderness, if you like. In Judge Dredd, it's like when you go out and basically go into the cursed earth and you've got to bring justice. It's the same bloody thing. You're just taking the Bible with you, you know, and that's what they were looking at in that point. Yeoman Carr is a sleazeball. He's also evil and obviously is 100% vile.
Come on, Chewie! Get up! Get around the Falcon!
All right, folks, it is time for the controversial part of Vector Prime, the death of Chewbacca. That's right. The Wookiee, the amazing 200-plus-year-old Wookiee, who's been there as a stalwart character and a staunch member of the Rebellion. There, the brother, the friend, and dear co-pilot of the Millennium Falcon. The Falcon. We call it the Falcon out here, mate. And, of course, he has been there all the way through it. But this all came about because they wanted to basically show that these characters weren't just safe. They weren't just going to get through these adventures and get to the end and just think, you know, bloody hell, here we go, mate. Just another adventure. After we've done this, we'll go out fishing, mate. You know, it was the same feel. What they were really doing was testing the waters to see whether they could really put the threat out there that, hey, mate, your characters aren't safe. You Luke, Han, and Leia, one of them could die. And so that's what they did. But they sent off a list. So basically the book editors themselves, including Randy Stradley from Dark Horse Comics. So obviously it shows you the how well put together this was. There's a number of different active members. And they really looked at who they could, take out at this stage of the production. And as they're mapping out all the stories, they went, let's send this to George. And they sent a list of characters. Luke was right on top of the list, believe it or not. They were thinking of killing Luke Skywalker. Who, in their right mind, would kill Luke Skywalker?
Ryan Johnson, because it's a great idea.
Well, at the end of the day, you got to think about it. It is a good idea. And regardless, Ryan Johnson's idea was a brilliant idea too. Because it's simply this. You take your most beloved character. Kill him. Kill him in the story. The rest of it, you know, it basically levels the playing field. Last Jedi, what the smartest move in the world was killing Luke Skywalker. All right. Now, you know he's going to come back as a ghost or, you know, that he could somehow matter in the ghost life as well. You know, they're coming back no matter what you do. But killing them also puts a layer of threat out there that means your beloved characters are not safe. Clever boy there, Ryan Johnson. Well done, sir. So, what happens in this book? Let's go through it. So, as we mentioned before, Helsker 4 becomes this backwater world that is the invasion base. Danny Key is taken and tortured for experimentation. Back on Belkadan, we have Yeoman Carr reading the planet for habitation. So, while this is happening, the Skywalker Solo family and the New Republic are unaware of the Vong threat. Lando Calrissian is on the planet Debrillion. And, of course, he's going through bureaucratic troubles with the Republic. So, while this is going on, obviously, Lando is out there doing his thing. Lando, again, always trying to get a deal going. You know, Lando. Old mate Lando. Good fella. And, of course, when he's out there, they have, of course, they see the liftoff of Kip Duron's dozen and two Avengers.
And of course, this is a do-right sort of group of X-Wings, obviously. And they are there to protect the local galaxy from the scum and villainy of the universe. And it's great. Again, Kip Duron, hero and friend of Han Solo and Chewbacca. And obviously, you know, the one that brought the Sun Crusher in and caused a bit of strife when he went to the dark side of the Force. Thanks to Exar Kun in, of course, the Jedi Academy series. Great series. G'day, Kevin J. Anderson. How you going, mate? And of course, that's one of those things that they really like, is bring back some characters and put them into this series of novels. Luke Skywalker and his wife, Mara Jade, are out in that part of space with R2-D2. And they go out to find out what's happening on Belkadan. And they go, Mara actually gets into a fight with Yomin Carr while she's there. And she wins by killing him, taking him out. But the Yuuzhan Vong, obviously, had given her, through their agent Nominor, a sickness. So, obviously, she's on borrowed time. Now, what's also great about it, Han Solo is asked by Lando to go and try and find out what's happening on Serpentel and pick up some cargo, get some stuff through the Falcon. Come on, kid, get on the Falcon. And, of course, when they get there, they get into strife as well. Part of the strife obviously leads them to Chewbacca having to try and save everybody and get them off the planet. Because what's happening is Serpentel is being destroyed. And what's happening is that the Vong themselves are actually pulling down a moon on top of it. So hence the title of this here podcast, Crushing of the Moons. So, unfortunately, Chewbacca's death is a sacrifice. And it is the motto of Star Wars. So, in some ways, George may not have made this by design because, obviously, it's just one who's, you don't really need Chewbacca. You can kill him off. Yeah, it was an afterthought. He wasn't even thinking about it for the novels. He didn't care. He wasn't doing sequels. He was doing, I'm going to do a prequel. I'm going to show you where Anakin Skywalker came from. Come on. So the idea was, in this, basically, you could pick that character that obviously he didn't put on the list and take him out. So Anakin is the last to almost leave. And obviously Chewbacca sacrifices himself by getting him to the Falcon on time. And unfortunately, the Falcon does get away. Han, the whole way there, trying to get his friend, obviously on board and isn't able to. And this is part of the thing that makes Han grow. And he really does grow in the next few novels. And it's a sad part of, obviously, the series. Sad. If anything, after this, he leans on others that he hadn't leaned on before. Because really, Han Solo, as strong as he was, as talkative as he was, trying to get out of deals as a used car salesman, because that's what he is, folks. He's a smuggler at heart. And, you know, he was always leaning on others. And I think for his rock, his, you know, foundation, Chewbacca was that. So he folks, gets closer with Talon Card after this, and with Lando Calrissian again. And I think he's never the same guy, but he learns to be stronger by himself. So this is what the thematic that came through that too. So the battles finally happen with Jason's Solo. He feels this call in the Force by Danny Key. So he takes Janie with him to rescue her. They try and get him through and get him clear on Helsker 4. But so the novel basically comes to an end where the Skywalkers, the Solo, the big family, return to Serpentel and allow Han Solo to finally have a few words, have some quiet time, the loss of Chewbacca. And obviously it concludes with, his death being the awakening of a dangerous element. So he sacrificed, but unfortunately, this opening, the Vong, the Yuuzhan Vong, this deadly new biotech menace, has now entered the Star Wars universe, and it's not like anything done before. That's what made it so strong. And once I'd read this book, now, I rarely read books straight away again, right away. This was one of those books. It had so much new stuff in it. And I think if you read a book and you just get so, first of all, I hated it, you know, the fact that it killed Chewbacca, you know, the first read, I'm like, you can't kill Chewie. That's like your puppy dog. You can't kill that elf. Then I reread it and I saw what they were doing as a group, you know, particularly, obviously, Mr. Salvatore. And it really is. It is a way to teach people about mortality, get them ready for the threat that's coming, and realize that, obviously, they have to be ready to do their part. This was about a war coming, an invasion. What do you do in an invasion? All rules are out the window. And that's the thing that they learned in this. Obviously, the Jedi are about to face the Yuuzhan Vong. The Force had no feel for these guys. So they really were tested. Now, this is the great thing about this. And it is one of the pinnacles of the expanded universe of Star Wars. It may be legendary now by Disney's card, but it is an expanded universe of the Star Wars saga, no matter how you scratch the ears of it. It is that. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the episode tonight here, of course, on the one, the only, the Fantha from Down Under. And now, enjoy our outro here on the show.
Well, that's all we have time for here tonight on the Fantha from Down Under. And we'll catch you next time, same place, same channel, and of course, with more Star Wars news in a single file from FanthaTracks.com's Australian edition. That's right, we'll catch you next time. So, until then, may the Force be with you, and enjoy your Star Wars fandom. We'll see you next time.
Warning, no Tauntauns were harmed in the filming and recording of this podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Fantha from Down Under. If you want to be a part of the action and stay updated on all the latest Star Wars news, visit FanthaTracks.com or check out the Fantha Tracks app through the App Store to follow us on your mobile device. You can reach out to us and send in your listeners' questions by emailing radio@FanthaTracks.com. Comment, like and share any of our social media feeds at Fantha Tracks, and be sure to subscribe. Leave a review, preferably a 5-star one, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher or smart speaker of your choice. May the Force be with you and join us at FanthaTracks.com. All your Star Wars news in a single file.